Hey, please be seated. This month, we've been teaching about being visionaries, recognizing the truth that God has called us to the body of Christ to live the most awesome, most incredible life that can be experienced. And as God's visionaries, we see the future of what can be, and with the knowledge of God's word and believing, will be. Now, you remember Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, what happens? The people perish. As God's visionaries, we take action on what God has called us to be and to do. We are sons of God with Christ within. We have the hope of Christ's return at any time, don't we? And as God's visionaries, we do not just sit back and daydream about the future. I mean, we can. You know, he's coming back at any time. I'm hanging. I'm waiting. Here I am. But we need to go live the future. We want to live the future. We want to live knowing that he could come back at any time. And because of that, we want to be doing God's will. We don't want to be doing the world's will. Boy, when he comes back, wouldn't it be neat that you were just witnessing to somebody and they just got born again. And they got right in there, under the wire, so to speak, or right at the wire. See, we live the future by doing God's word now. And let's go to Hebrews 12 in your Bibles, if you would. Hebrews 12. Yeah, it was wonderful to have the opportunity to see somebody that had been pretty low in their life and then make a comeback, a sustained comeback. Where for 14 months was clean, excited about God. And, you know, I have great vision for this young man to see him do wonderful things for God. But that ball's in his court, and that'll be his opportunity to believe God and be the man that God has called him to be. You know, we have vision. Why do we have vision? Why do you have vision? What are you going to live for? What is life purpose? You know, we think about these things, don't we? I hope we do. We better. Else we're just floating. Because we don't go anywhere unless we have vision to go there. You know, if there's a yogurt place, the yogurt mill, and we have a desire, our vision is to go there. We actually do it. We go there. We act on that. And we've got some great things that God has called each and every one of us to do. Each and every one of us in the body of Christ have a mission. You know, there's a mission statement that each and every one of us has. And we have the privilege to do it, to walk out and do it. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He had a mission and he did it. And he's somebody we can look at. Chapter 12 in Hebrews verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, it wasn't joy for him to go through the crucifixion, obviously, but he saw through that where he would be with his heavenly Father at the right hand. He saw through that, so it was joy for him to put up with all the crap that he had to do. And he put up a lot more than you and I will ever do. But he did it because he had vision. He saw through that. He saw through the circumstances of the world and saw his hope. We have a hope of Christ's return. And that's what we live for. That's what we look for, because God's our Father. We're His kids. We're born again of God's Spirit. We've got Christ within. Wow, what do we want to do with this stuff? You know, somebody gives you $1 million. Do you want to just count it all day? You want to spend it. Get out and do something with it. Have vision for your life. And Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, acted on His mission statement that He had. And because He did, you and I can live today. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. If there's one section in God's Word that just really sets the tone of the greatness of our life as God has designed it, it's, to me, it's this section in Ephesians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy," and maybe we should read why this statement is in there, that God is rich in mercy. Let's take a look at the previous verses. Let's start at verse 1. "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our lifestyle in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh." We had desires of our flesh, so we acted on it. Right? Now, man, if we can have the desires of God's will in our life and act on that, what a lifestyle we could live. Okay, "the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love," not just His love is just so big and wonderful, but He's talking about His great love, "wherewith He loved us." There used to be a commercial about a cereal, and I forget what the cereal was, but the what was on the box was this tiger. I think it was Tony the Tiger. See, you guys know this stuff. And the commercial would go, "Great," right? That's what I think of when God's love here is just great. What a love. And you know when that love was manifested? When we were yet dead in sins. You know, it's easy to love somebody that's doing the right thing, right? Looking good and everything. Oh, love you. But what about the person who's down in the dumps, who's in that gutter of life? God loves, man, great love. "When we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together, made us alive together with" who? "Christ. Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." That's where we are spiritually. And man, if we can put the spiritual above the five senses and live our life knowing that we're seated in the heavenlies, right? We're at the right hand of the Father. If we can maintain that, then we can do some great things for God. Tremendous things for God. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace." You mean there's more than what we are seeing now and experience with Christ within, Holy Spirit, nine manifestations? My golly. "In the ages to come, we're going to see some exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Man, I never get tired of reading this verse. I don't know how many times hundreds and hundreds of times, but never get tired of what this says and the greatness of what's being communicated here. You know, I take people, living here in Point Loma, I take visitors out to the point, And have you all been out to the end of the point and you look out at the beautiful panoramic scenery, right? And it's just gorgeous. I never get tired of that. I mean, I've seen it hundreds of times, but it's still, man, that is tremendous. What a view. Or I look off my deck up in the back there, and there's snow in the mountain. I can see the snow in the mountains there and stuff. And just what a beautiful view. I've seen it hundreds of times, never get tired of it. Look at God's word like this. I never get tired of this. Most beautiful thing in the whole world is God's word, right? So, man, just, you know, when somebody says, let's read Ephesians chapter 2, don't say, man, I've seen that 100 times. Can we go somewhere else and read it? Get excited about it, because this is a great section in God's word. Amen. Yeah. Chapter 1's pretty exciting too. Let's take a look at that. Chapter 1. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know what blessed is? Happy. God is happy. God is happy that He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. How are you before God? If God was right here, would you start shaking the knees and stuff? In a worldly sense, maybe so. But from a spiritual perspective, how does He see us? Holy? Acceptable? You see, if we can just get this in our hearts and minds and then walk out on this, you know, look out. Look out, world. Let's see here. Man, oh man. I mean, there's so much in here. This Ephesians is phenomenal. Let's just pick this up. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. You know, we talk about a purpose-driven life, because you're not going to go anywhere unless you have purpose. You know, people set goals for things. A lot of times they just set goals because somebody said I should set goals. But you should set goals according to what you purpose in life. What do you purpose in life? Then start setting goals. Because that which you purpose in life, then you can set goals and you can go for it. You can really get into it. A purpose-driven life. Jesus, or God Almighty. God Almighty had a purpose, didn't He? He had a purpose, and it's you and I are a big part of that purpose. We talk about the purpose of the ages. You know what the purpose of the ages are? For God Almighty? You and me, born again of God's Spirit? He's been dreaming of this, to have born again children in His family. He has been wanting this so bad. He purposed it, you and I, to obtain this inheritance, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's the best counsel you could have, after His own will. That we, you and I, should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. You and I are to the praise of His glory. When He looks at you as a born-again ones, He starts, yay, He's praising you. Look at my kids. Look at my kids. You know, those of us who are fathers, that's my kid out there. You know, usually we were in sports games and things like that. Look at, that's my kid out there. He running up and down, you know. Look at him, he kicked the ball. Woo! Susie's here. And Susie's played soccer. I mean, every little kid, you got to play soccer, right? And so she's, I don't know, 6, 7 years old, just starting out. And she was on defense. She wasn't the fastest person. So she was on defense, and I called her the brick wall. Nobody goes past my daughter. She's the brick wall. And but you know what she did a lot of times? Because the ball would be up there, and she's on defense, so ball's up there. She starts looking at the flowers and talking to his friend. The ball comes down here, and we're like, Susie, Susie, over here. We used to give her a donut for each time she touched the ball. That was motivation. Man, we love our kids, don't we? God loves us. He wants the best for us. Do not, if you ever have a sense of guilt or condemnation, you throw that baby out. You tell the devil, go hike. Because that's not you. That's not you. You have vision for your life on who you really are. That's who you really are. You're a son of God. You're to the praise of His glory. In whom also you trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the token of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Boy, another praise to His glory is when that Christ comes back and we're together. We're all together. Wow. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And what a prayer this is, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. God will do this for us. This is His prayer, His desire for us. And we can have that expectation for ourselves. The eyes of your understanding, or the word is heart, cardia, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And this goes on. It's just so rich, isn't it? See, these things should be dwelling in our hearts. These realities we should continue to put in our minds so that when we're thinking, this is what we think, you know? We're not thinking about TV stuff or the care and concerns of the world, but we're just feeding our mind God's Word, and we think the Word. We take on all these circumstances and stuff, but we take them on with the perspective that we're sons of God. We've got the hope of Christ's return. We've got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We got nine manifestations. God's going to give us some great wisdom on how to deal with things. See, have vision for your life. That's what we've been talking about, right? For a month here, or even longer. Be visionaries. Have great vision for your life. Get excited. Have a passion for life, God's life. Man, you don't want to live, and Christ comes back, and you look back and says, well, boy, I wish I would have got a little more excited about this. Why did I sit on my butt all the time? And, you know, let's have a passion for something. And you know what that something is? God, our Heavenly Father, doing His will. What is your purpose in life? It's the will of God. God's will is all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So if you're out there speaking the word, helping people get born again or get a little better knowledge of the truth, are you doing God's will? Amen, you are. And wow, you can get very specific if you listen to the Father. He gives you word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and how to do this in the most best fashion possible. Vicki taught 2 weeks ago to walk worthy of your calling. This is a little review here, kind of what I'm doing, isn't it? Walk worthy of your calling. Let's do it. Let's walk worthy of our calling. Michael Barbera taught about building on God's vision in your life. Great encouragement he shared with us about living this wonderful word that we know. Living who we are in Christ. Walking worthy of our calling. To be it. To go for it. I'm going to share with you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to share with you the most important key in living for God and living our calling in Christ. We've been talking about being visionaries. We're talking about walking worthy for God, really stepping out. Okay, I'm going to give you a great key. And this is the most important key that you could know to really be successful in this. You want to know it?
Sure.
Give me a break here. I got to take a sip of water. And I'm going to illustrate this too. This is how you do it. Take that first step. That's it. That's all it is. Take a step out for God. Take that first step for God. You know, maybe you're in a situation, a snack bar or something like that, and you know, you see somebody talking over there, and you know, something hits your heart. You know, maybe I should go over there and speak the word. You can do one of two things. To do the will of God, you can take one step. And I tell you what, once you make the first step in doing the will of God, the second one is easy. The rest of them are really easy. But that first step is always difficult, isn't it? Isn't it, Chad? Come on now. It is, isn't it? I've been through it so many times where I've missed it because I didn't take that first step. Man, we take that first step. I remember, and I'm glad I did this, years ago, I was witness to, I was hungry to know God and, you know, know truth wherever it would be. And somebody witnessed the word to me in North Carolina. And so he said, you come to Ohio and take a class on this farm. Change your life. Well, you know, this is summer. We finished school for that semester. I go home, and I have a decision to make. Now, I had just secured the greatest job in the whole world as a young college man. What do you think that job would be? Lifeguard at the pool. Oh, man. I'm it. You know, all the girls and the lifeguard. Woo! What a job. But I had an opportunity. Go to Ohio and take a Bible class, or lifeguards. It took one step to say, I'm going to do this. And I made that decision. I paid the money for the flight to get there, and I went there. I'm glad I did there. But it took one step. And that first step is what it takes so many times. Isn't it? You get challenged, the world challenges you, and what are you going to do? And if you can do that, the will of God, that first step, look out. What about speaking in tongues? When you spoke in tongues, first time you spoke in tongues, you know, people are going, you know, but they get that first word out, right? They say that first word. First word, boom, they're gone, right? They step out, first word, boom, they're gone. Speaking in tongues, yeah. Abundant sharing. Should I be giving? You know, I got a lot of things going on here financially, but first step. Whoops. My wallet's broken. Open my wallet. First step, right? That's how it works. You know, we... have you seen the movie Indiana Jones? Holy Grail movie? And they're going all over the place trying to find this Holy Grail. And the word was, take the step forward. You know, you get to this certain place, and they're in this cave, and there's this deep chasm. And the directions were, this is the word, take a step forward. And he's looking with his five senses in no way. But what did he do? He took a step. He took that first step. And what happened? There was some kind of bridge there, some optical illusion. It didn't look like it. But there he was. He walked out on the directions. Once he took the first step, he was gone, right? First step. What about old Peter in the boat? We talk about getting out of the boat, right? You know the best way to get out of the boat? First step. That first step out. And then he was out there, right? He took that first step and he was walking around. But then what happened? He was looking around and it was getting a little stormy out there and stuff. And, you know, my sandals are getting a little wet and I can't see my feet. My knees are starting to get wet and uh-oh. But he had to take that first step. That's what we need to do. We just take the first step. You know what holds us back from taking that step? Fear. Yeah. Fear. Fear that God will not be there. Now, is God faithful? He is faithful. God is faithful. Psalms 34. Let's take a look at Psalms and then Proverbs. Psalms 34. You know, that's my message today. Take a step. Take the first step. That's my message here. Take that first step on the will of God. 34, verse 4. And the one thing that's going to stop you or hold you back is fear. So we got to address this fear situation. So 34:4 says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. And what did he do? He delivered me from my fears. All my fears. All my fears. Okay? All my fears. So if you have a fear about walking out on the will of God, who can you go to? God. God. Go to God. Nothing wrong with fear if you take care of it. All right? Some people say, I'm a little afraid here, and then they give up. The Bible says you're going to have fear. So who do you go to? You go to God and say, Father, I want to do your will on this thing, man. Help me out. I got fear here. What can I, and he'll talk to you. You work some things out. Maybe some verses will come to mind, like Psalms 34, whatever we just read here, God will deliver us. He will do it. Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29, 25. Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Isn't that great? So, man, let's just keep hanging on to God. We keep hanging on to God because God is faithful. We're going to close in John. But let's go to Lamentations. Then we'll go to John. Where's Lamentations at, Daniel? Boy, wasn't that great with the books of the Bibles? Where's Lamentations? It's in the middle. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. All right. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. This is one of the greatest sections here. Faithfulness. God is faithful. Boy, that's a reality, a truth that we want to just get in our hearts and mind, that God is faithful. God is faithful. And I tell you, I'm really excited about this weekend coming up in 2 weeks. 3 weeks? 2 weeks? Purpose of the ages. This is going to blow your mind. And this would be a great thing to bring some folks. You want to help people come to a knowledge of the truth? Bring folks to this. Invite them. This will blow their mind. Okay, Lamentations 3:21, this I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope, or the word hope is expectation. And we do this all the time, don't we? If we have a concern or something, and then we put the word back into our minds, right? A lot of times we forget the word, and so we have problems. But if we recall to our mind God's word, then we'll have expectations from Him. Verse 22, is it of the Lord's mercy? It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new, and the word new is fresh, every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. Man, see, if we could just get this in our hearts and minds and act on this, step out, just take a step forward on this stuff. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. Man, we wait on the Lord. There's another verse like that, isn't there? Wait on the Lord. Man, if it just doesn't happen, we have a need or situation and we don't get the answer or the deliverance, do we give up? No, we hang in there. We stay put. And there may be some things going on that you just haven't happened for you, and you're just staying put year after year maybe. But God is faithful, right? His word is faithful. And that we put our expectation on. And that we take a step forward on God's word. That's what we want to do. He's going to do this because we're His children. Would you deny your children anything that's good? No, God's not going to do that. No way. Mike Barbera shared a verse last week that just really touched my heart. And I want to close with this because, you know, so many times I think we get in our mind that I'm trying to get a hold of God here, you know. I'm seeking Him out. And, yeah, I seek Him out. I wait for Him. But look at John 15. We're going to close here in John. Y'all have been patient with me here. Bless your hearts. 15, John 15, 15. 15, 15. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Now, put this in perspective, too. Jesus Christ is talking about, hey, you're more than servants. You're my friends. Oh, what are we? We're God's kids. We're His brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ. Okay, what else does it say here? Your friends, for all things... But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That blew me away. You know, here I've been, for 8 years in my life, there's a time I just hoping there was a God or something that made sense and truth. And after 8 years... instead of being a lifeguard, I was in a class, Bible class. Saved my life because it was God's word. God's word. And to think that God chose us. You know, He's out there choosing. He's out there working with. He's out there giving us revelation, and we're just, I'm walking by the world. Man, He's there. Think about that. He chose you. He's reached out to you. So He's going to be talking to us. He's going to be really communicating to us. And He has a mission statement for each and every one of us. And that's the privilege we have, is to walk out on that mission statement. Find out what God has for you in the body of Christ, and then walk out on it. walk out on it. So I'd like to summarize my teaching today by doing this. Take a step on God's word. Step out on God's will for your life, okay? Take the first step, all right? You're God's best, and I'd like to close with a word of prayer here. Heavenly Father, we are very, very grateful and thankful that you have chosen us. And boy, I should have read the rest of that verse. So, Father, in the middle of this prayer, I just ask everybody to read the rest of that verse, and you'll really get blessed some more. But Heavenly Father, thank you for making your word available, and that word is so big and rich and full and wonderful, and that we can just have it to read and put in our hearts so that we can act out on it. We can take those steps for you. Thank you for working with us, for delivering us from all our fears, so that we can just see you work wonderful things, signs, wonders, and miracles, Father, is our daily walk. So I pray for each person here, for their wonderful commitment to walk for you, to hold forth your word, to help people come to a knowledge of the truth. I just pray that each person here can just have the joy and rejoicing in their hearts as they fellowship with you and walk out on your will. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Well, God bless you. Let's have a great week, okay?